Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
High fly ball into right. I'd say he likes hitting off Severino. Goodbye. Second deck. Josh Reddick has made it 2-0 Houston here in the second.
That was big. Home run from Reddick in the second. Home run from Altuve in the first. Get to breathe a little bit early in the game. And then you got Gerrit Cole on the mound. And the Astros go on to win 4-1 yesterday. They take a 2-1 lead in the 2019 ALCS, Seth Payne. We are two wins away from a second World Series in 3 years. And we know who they'll be playing if they get there. The Washington Nationals. A rough week in St. Louis, I suppose. The Washington Nationals just sliced and diced up the St. Louis Cardinals in a four-game sweep.
That's
a tricky team waiting for you in the World Series.
Time,
man,
to sit there. Those pitchers can just sit there and study.
Yeah.
Think. The Reddick home run, I thought, was going to be, to me, I interpreted that as a sign that Yordan was going to go off, too.
Mm.
I thought, oh, well, if Reddick's hitting home runs, and Yordan surely is to follow. Not quite yet. But
maybe there's a one-day delay.
As our listener, Des, was saying, she feels like he's getting closer. Baby steps.
Who, Yordan?
Yordan, yeah.
I feel like he's getting further and further away.
He's a mess.
He's
actually like physically getting a little closer to the plate.
I like Dez and everything, I disagree with her theory. He looks terrible right now.
Yeah.
He's swinging at pitches that be swinging at pitches. If I were a cheese ball play by play guy, I would have been like, "Whoa, Yordan swung at that pitch. It was in Queens." Ugh. You know where they take geographic areas that are really far away?
I'm going to let the listener know that I know the geography
right.
of the area. In Yonkers or
that
something.
Houston Avenue. Like, yeah. Show off that it's not pronounced Houston. Yeah. It's pronounced Houston up there.
Oh, that's what they were doing. Houston, we have a problem.
Did they do that?
No.
And by the way, Dan Fouts can go screw himself, too, with this Houston, we have a problem thing from the game on Sunday.
The worst thing about Fouts was that you knew he had planned on doing it, too.
Yes.
I'd have to go back and I bet he's done it in every game that he's ever broadcast from Houston. He's just waiting for that moment.
Oh, yeah.
He tries to get it out of the way early in the game so that it doesn't, you know, because if you use it in the fourth quarter but Houston's winning or something, it doesn't sound right.
Who is he doing? Was it Ian Eagle who was doing the play-by-play with? Ian Eagle, I think so. Do you think he, like, elbowed him in the ribs after he said it, like, hey, that's pretty good, huh?
The problem is, too, and I respect it if somebody does it trolling us because they know how much we hate it, but it's when somebody does it and they genuinely think they're clever.
Right.
Like
that's Fouts.
People that get paid to write words for a living that do it for headline writing and whatnot.
Yes.
I have this sense of, like, them sitting at 2 a.m. on their computer and thinking, oh, you know what? I'm going to use that line, which is actually an inaccurate quote, but I saw it in the movie, so I'm going to say the Houston, we have a problem.
Yeah.
Gold. It's gold.
Yeah.
I'm going to Pulitzer for this one.
That's right. People that get into sentence feuds.
Yeah.
Josh Reddick got stuff thrown at him last night. You called your shot on this one.
Josh Reddick called the shot because yesterday there was an article where he was talking about how brutal the right field fans are. I thought it was a poor move by him because you never let the bullies know that they're getting to you. But there was a whole article written, I think it was by Hunter Atkins in the paper.
Yes.
Or Chandler Rome was one of those two.
It was Hunter Atkins. Yeah.
They all look alike to me. So they... they do, actually. They both kind of look like Bama kids, you know.
They're both dark-haired, handsome young men. Yes.
They're curly-haired. Like, they look like they should be in the cheering section in an SEC school. Non-Texas A&M SEC school.
Of all the scribes you would confuse, yeah. Chandler Rome and Hunter Atkins, yes.
Where are the two English majors in the room? Oh, those two
those
guys.
Those two
right
guys,
there.
Yep.
So, anyway, I might have put Aaron Reese in there, too.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
So, but anyway.
We have a type.
He was talking about how they're so brutal, they know his wife's name, they'll use his mom's name and stuff, which is, that's a little taken a little too far. But they're throwing garbage on the field all game. Up from the third deck, you throw a water bottle. Look, I've been there. I was part of that infamous Cleveland Browns game that got called in the fourth quarter because the Browns fans were throwing stuff.
I don't remember this.
You don't remember that?
No.
They've done a couple specials about it on NFL Network.
Have they really?
There was
you were in that game?
There was a controversial call at the end of the game, and the Browns fans started throwing so much debris on the field, and we had the game in hand.
Was it a Jacksonville?
Jacksonville,
okay, yeah.
And so the refs called the game, And there was, they were throwing full water bottles and everything. And the Browns fans tried to downplay it by saying, well, look, who's going to get hurt by a water bottle? No. They were full, like, plastic beer bottles and full water bottles, which, again, I wasn't too worried that I was going to get hurt.
It's got its own wiki page.
Yeah.
Bottlegate. It's called Bottlegate.
I remember talking to a writer after this. I was like, you know, people are going to be reading about this 20 years from now. And he said, I don't know about that, Seth. Yeah. Who's reading about it right now?
Sean Pendergast. Yeah. Sean Pendergast on the air on a radio show. Bottlegate. Yeah. 2001.
Yeah. So that's what we have with Reddick right now is he's getting.
Debrisgate?
Yeah. Debrisgate.
Yeah. Did he talk about the fans? Talk about the fans in New York.
Talking to Buster Olney.
Let's hear from Josh Reddick.
Oh, they're hectic. You know, that's a nice way of putting it right now. But, you know, stuff like that really doesn't belong in baseball. Throwing stuff on the field, it's kind of disrespectful. So it's kind of tough to deal with, especially when stuff like that happens. But you deal with it, you move on. The win here is the bigger statement.
Yeah, the only way Josh Reddick doesn't get pelted with something again is if Kyle Tucker starts in right field today.
When he made that catch,
he locked it up.
Kyle Tucker, boy, talk about some fuel. Some of those guys out in right field, when they see Kyle Tucker loping out there, like Woody the Cowboy. Look, as annoying as New Yorkers are, they can come up with some world-class insults. Okay. They could have a good time with Tucker.
Is it possible, you know how you mic up a player or a coach? Is it possible to mic up an entire section? Could we listen to the entire section out there right in right field if Kyle Tucker starts tonight?
So, when Reddick made that catch in right field, where every one of these warning track balls, nobody can judge them. The outfielders, you see the looks on their faces. Just like the fans, they're adjusting to these non-juiced baseballs. And I think all these, because I saw Brett Gardner looked fine. At first, I thought Brett Gardner was angry about the lights, but I think it's just adjusting to the ball. And Reddick, that should have been a routine catch. Because it just, he wasn't even at the wall or anything, but you could see how stressed out he was trying to judge everything. I was really expecting to see debris falling down after he made that catch, which would have been awesome to be able to shame the Yankees fans about that.
For pelting Josh Reddick with debris.
Look, we've got fans up there that they're watching with their children, New York. Why don't you put on your happy faces up there? Yeah.
Why are you teaching? You're teaching them that this is acceptable.
And it's not an excuse anymore. Remember, this is the playoffs. These are high-dollar tickets.
Yeah.
These aren't like some bums up in the bleachers that just spent $2 to go to the game.
No, even your affluent people are savages, New York.
Yeah.
They're savages. They're cretins is what they are. Yeah.
Making a strong case that the Electoral College is no good here. They're like, you're supposed to be like the more elevated of
exactly what I was thinking. Yeah. I'm watching Josh Reddick get pelted with debris. I'm thinking about the Electoral
Those
College.
Those are Electoral College members right there. They're supposed to be the best of us. And it's weird that
you were thinking that too. Yeah. I was thinking that exact same thing.
I got to be careful because I Brexit and Electoral College are these two things that I don't even understand. I know if I say it, people think I'm making a political statement about an election or something, and I can't even remember what is good and what is bad anymore.
Yeah,
so just
the last
ease off on
hours.
The text line with whatever you think I'm trying to say.
So if it starts raining in game tonight, how much clout, which team has more clout to get the desired outcome of a game that is raining and delayed in game?
Right. Well, what do we want here? Because I think I was swaying back and forth on this. I'm with you now. I want the Astros to play today. I feel they have the advantage. The bullpen has been taxed for a couple days now by the Yankees. So let's go ahead and by yesterday.
Right. The Yankees bullpen's been taxed.
Yankees bullpen has been taxed. Yeah. Go ahead and pounce right now. You could make the argument that four games in a row would be tougher for the bullpen, but whatever. Who's got more power to say, hey, let's get this thing done right now? Is it Jim Crane or is it the Steinbrenners?
Yeah.
I think, like, who's going to bend the ear of the commissioner?
I think if it were George Steinbrenner, I would feel worse about it. The Steinbrenner kids, you know, I'm just not sure. I know that there's two sons, and I don't know who's more involved in the business right now. The bottom line is, I feel like Jim Crane can get anything done these days.
Yeah.
I have ultimate confidence in Jim Crane. So I feel like he's got a bat phone sitting right there next to him, and if the rain turns into just a light drizzle, he's going to be on the bat phone going, I realize I'm in enemy territory right now. Let's get this going. Do you realize I'm the one? You know whose idea it was to trade for Zach Greinke baseball? Mine. That's what he's going to say. Mine. I'm the sheriff around here. Mm-hmm. I run things in Houston, and I'm going to run things in baseball. Let's get to play in this game.
I don't know. You could go either way with this, because the Steinbrenners obviously have a lot of connections and wield a lot of power, and just with everything that the Yankees are and have been. But sometimes that rubs people the wrong way. And yeah. if Hank and Hal are just maybe there are a lot of people in the league offices that flat out can't stand him.
Right.
And as long as Jim Crane hasn't been along. Jim Crane, he's been a good soldier. He joined the AL West, you know, like took that
he
hit.
Did.
Just to, you know, that's where he's got to call on that chip. I don't know if he's called that chip in yet or not. He said, look, I remember I went out. I'm playing these games out on the West Coast. I'm giving up TV revenue because my people can't be expected to stay up until 1 a.m. on a Tuesday night watching baseball games. How about you do us a solid here and let's go ahead and get this thing done?
That's a good selling point. Yeah. I'll say this. Of all the games where rain getting dropped into the middle of a game, possibly having a delay or multiple delays to get the game in, the one advantage the Astros would have of it happening today versus other days. The Astros' big advantage in this series, obviously, is in their big three, the Verlander, Cole, and Greinke, in whatever order. I would not want rain on a day. I guess you don't have to worry about it with Verlander and Cole because you're back here. But I wouldn't want it on a day where Greinke's pitching, because if the rain comes and he's three innings in and you're sitting there for 2 hours, Greinke feels like a creature that might not vibe with him very well.
Yeah,
sitting for 2 hours,
out of his routine,
yes,
and what have you.
Yes.
Yeah, that's worrisome.
So get it out of your system today, Mother Nature, please.
I think that also, okay, how do I feel about a bullpen day with the Astros right now versus the Yankees? Yankees used five relievers yesterday. It really all comes down to Urquidy. Is Urquidy, how long is A.J. Hinch going to feel comfortable leaving Urquidy in?
I don't know. I gotta go look at his game logs.
Because it could end up being not even much of a reliever day if you feel like you can actually get a long performance out of Urquidy.
Five innings. Well, I remember.
And then all of a sudden,
he had a six inning outing.
Yeah,
because I remember it was treated like he just pitched a perfect game.
If Urquidy goes out there and he's just dominating, then all of a sudden it's not even a bullpen day. This has turned into a normal starter day. Maybe he pitches five innings, but Presley didn't pitch at all yesterday. You've got, Osuna did his normal thing, so he's plenty ready to go. You've got pretty much your full bullpen available to you, and I'd feel really good about that. It's all down on, I don't want to put any pressure on Urquidy, but I know 100% he's not listening to sports radio right this moment up in New York.
He's, right. Here are his, I'm looking at his game log of starts. He started five games in July.
Yeah.
And went 3 2/3, 2 1/3. He went seven. He went six. He went four. Generally speaking, when he's gotten taken out early, it's because he's been bad, not because they're managing his pitch
right.
count. And then he started two games in September. One, he gave up a run in five innings. The other, he pitched six shutout innings. So, yeah, who knows?
It's a complete and total wild card.
It is.
This is the fun part of the playoffs.
Yes.
Is that you're potentially relying on a guy who's largely unproven.
And neither manager has said what they're going to do, to my knowledge, right? Neither manager's confirmed, definitely a bullpen day. This guy's starting, this guy's opening.
I believe they both said it was going to be a bullpen day.
Okay.
But now it doesn't, that doesn't, what does that actually mean?
Right.
It's not
a verbal contract.
Right.
Yeah. This potential rain today is twisting my mind into a pretzel.
It is. I can tell you've got so many scenarios running through your brain. You're like Zach Galifianakis there in
right.
The Hangover, where you got all the numbers
all
going.
All the Goodwill Hunting equations
like
floating in front of me.
You're trying to be the autistic genius, and yet you're not autistic.
Not even close.
It's like, it's one of those rare moments in life where you're like, I wish I was an autistic genius, but I'm not. But there's too many combinations of things that can happen here with the rain delay.
Right. This is the one time I wish I was a genius where I could figure out the pitching permutations of the ALCS.
Before somebody, I forget how old I am sometimes. Before some youngster thinks I'm picking on autistic people, there's a movie called The Rain Man. If you've ever seen The Hangover, I know you've seen The Hangover, that scene where Zach Galifianakis is gambling, that's a reference to a movie from 20 years prior that called...
Called Rain Man. Yeah, Rain Man.
Where Dustin Hoffman played an autistic fellow who was very, very good with math.
Raymond Babbitt.
And his brother, exploited that.
Tom Cruise.
For personal gain.
Tom Cruise did what I probably would have done back in 1989, which is bring my autistic brother to a casino.
Almost got his autistic brother beat up by goons at a casino because he was counting cards.
They did win $87,000. But
here's what's going to happen. I don't even remember that scene other than he got threatened with violence, didn't
he? Oh, yes. Well, I don't know. I think they just told him, you better leave.
Okay,
I think you're combining Casino with Rain Man.
I am. Didn't he cut off Dustin Hoffman's hand with a cleaver?
Didn't they make Raymond Babbitt put his hand on the table and they took a ball peen hammer to it?
And then they buried him in a hole in the desert.
That's
right?
Yeah.
I'm combining all mob movies. That was Casino.
Yeah, I know. You're combining Goodfellas.
This is a movie where Ray Liotta was an autistic guy that went gambling at the horse track.
Yeah. And they took him out to a cornfield and beat the crap out of his brother.
Yeah.
So, this rain, and we'll see what happens. There's people texting in saying 0% chance the game gets played today.
Yeah.
We'll see.
0%. And now, also, talk yesterday was that they might move it up, but the rain might start at noon or so. What if all of a sudden we get an announcement? By the way, the game's starting in an hour. I don't think they're moving it up.
I texted with Richard Justice last night, MLB.com. I'm not name dropping.
That's really impressive.
Rich and I are close. We've known each other
RJ.
For a long, long time. Yeah, yeah. RJ. He's there, obviously, covering the World Series. He told me last night that there was a lot of discussion in the building last night of preemptively announcing the postponement before Wednesday even got here.
Yeah.
That obviously has not happened. So maybe he had some misinformation. Who knows? I say all that to say that I texted with Richard Justice last night.
And he doesn't know anything any more than anybody else does, than anybody sitting on their couch right now or driving into work.
Exactly.
Yeah. So personally, you've talked me into it. I wanted the rain delay because I just like the idea. For one, it gives you an option, potentially. It gives you flexibility with what you want to do with that rain delay. Or what you want to do after the rain delay. So tomorrow, Greinke starts. Let's say there's a rain delay today. Do you push your bullpen day off and match up to the Yankees' bullpen day, or do you go ahead and start Greinke in game four tomorrow?
Well, if you said this, I apologize. Boone has said that if the game gets canceled today, there's a good chance he's starting Tanaka
on
Thursday.
Yeah, you're right.
That
was my Zach Galifianakis moment.
There will be no imminent bullpen day. It seems like... This is what I think is going to happen, Seth, is that it's going to rain today, the game's going to get rained out, and it's going to be Tanaka and Greinke in game four on Thursday.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
But then that gives you a Friday where Verlander can pitch. So you can go, you've pushed this bullpen day off. Friday, Verlander can pitch.
On full rest. Yeah.
But then you have the option on Saturday, depending on what the series is, to either use your bullpen day on Saturday or go ahead and pitch Cole on 3 days rest.
And to me, it's simple. If you're down 3-2, you pitch
Cole. It's Cole, right.
If you're up 3-2, you pitch the bullpen.
And then you know you've
got Garrett Cole going in game seven.
And you don't mess with Cole and say he might be available in relief.
No.
You got to say, you do your normal routine.
That is your silver bullet.
Yeah.
Right.
And Cole's had his good performance. You know what happens there? This is where I'd be a bad manager. There's part of me that thinks like, yeah, but Cole would like a chance to go out there again. What if we win in game six and Cole doesn't have a chance to go?
Oh.
Look, Cole, get over it. Cole, get over it with his $250 million this offseason,
all right? Right. And guess what? If they win this series, you'll get to see Cole again in the World Series.
I think you were on air when this happened, but they showed the photo of Garrett Cole as a young Yankees fan.
Oh, I heard about it.
Yankees fan now, today, forever, or something like that.
Yeah,
I wanted to go back in time and slap that youngster upside the head.
So young Garrett Cole?
Just put this sign down right now. You're toying with people's emotions.
That's the one thing that really scares me about the Garrett Cole situation. I don't want to get too far off on that because I want to enjoy the moment right now.
Yeah.
But that is you brought it up, so I'm going to say it. That is a scary thing. That it's the teams that are going to be in on Garrett Cole this offseason are teams like the Yankees, his favorite team growing up, the Angels, the team that apparently his family really likes. I'm guessing the Dodgers will be in on it now. He's a Southern California guy. There's a lot of this life stuff that's going to get injected into the situation.
Yeah, and I think it's not all about money, but a lot of times this is the way baseball has gone with free agency. There are the guys that aren't at the absolute peak are all being offered the same contract, it seems. But then there's a few guys that at the very top that only have a couple of teams after them, and it's just a complete wild card. I don't think it's not going to be a frenzy bidding process. I think there will be a couple teams that are big into it, and I'm damn sure almost 100% positive the Yankees will be one of them.
Yeah, I think every team that has the resources is going to be talking to him because he's – I mean, the guy has positioned himself as somebody who's practically automatic every – every fifth day. So we'll see.
A lot of talk going around at the watch party yesterday about, I think you started it, of like, hey, pitch him 150 pitches.
Yeah, that was me.
Yeah, what do we care?
Don't take him out.
He's somebody else's problem next. Just ruin him the way you did.
Treat him like a rental car.
Remember, Aroldis Chapman took a full year to recover right. from the way he was used by Joe Madden in the World Series that one year.
That's right. Not our problem.
Yeah.
Beat him up like a rental car. So Ryan Tannehill is now the starting quarterback in Tennessee. It could be the end. It's the end of the Marcus Mariota era.
This is the dicey thing when you accept the head coaching job. And it's interesting because Vrabel, you feel, was going to be very selective. And you knew he was going to get an offer at some point, so he wanted to be sure he went to the right spot. And yet he chose a spot in Tennessee that did not have a good quarterback situation. No. And you could see it coming. People were down on Mariota, but it was always a question of, okay, wait a second. Is he gonna figure this thing out? Is it because he's had multiple offensive coordinators? What is it? This is the year where you realize you can make excuses for him based on coordinators, but there's some simple, stupid stuff like that you can't blame on a coordinator. Some of these short passes that he's missing because of sloppy footwork. Are people coming in and messing with his mechanics to such a degree that he can't learn how to throw the football? I see other quarterbacks working on that on their own.
Yeah.
So he's in a little bit of a pickle right now.
Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to go very differently than it did with Mark. It'll look different because Mariota has different traits than Ryan Tannehill does.
Who's got a more likely chance of being the Texans' backup quarterback next year, Ryan Tannehill or Marcus Mariota?
That's a good one.
Who would you want?
Who Tannehill or Mariota?
They can both run.
I'd rather have Tannehill.
Yeah.
I'd rather have Tannehill. Yeah, he's a better thrower of the football. I feel like he can come in and do some things.
He can spread it out a little bit. There's some stuff they did in Miami that was actually intriguing at times. It was just his health. With Tannehill, at least there's an excuse, which is he's been banged up for so long. He had that weird decision with the surgery last year that at least you feel like, okay, for a backup especially, I feel like Tannehill won't necessarily also be always chomping at the bit to be a starter somewhere else.
There's that. You're right. I mean, he's had to spend a lot of time on the bench through injuries and through being a backup. But, Mariota's he's inaccurate. That's the one thing. If I'm making a list of traits I want in a quarterback in the NFL, I want you to put the ball where it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Mariota's never been able to do that. So now the Texans exist in a division
where it should be. I can't say it out loud. Never mind. I had a friend in high school who had a band named something about putting things where they shouldn't be, and
tell me what it is during the break.
Everybody.
The Texans exist in a division where the starting quarterbacks in, say, late July, early August, none of them are. Andrew Luck, gone. Marcus Mariota, benched. Nick Foles, broken collarbone. And meanwhile, Deshaun Watson is amazing. We just got done talking about the Titans quarterback situation. Ryan Tannehill is the new starter there for Marcus Mariota. I'm looking at the TV screen in here, Seth, and they're talking about the Panthers, and the caption said, Ron Rivera, Cam Newton going to take his time returning. Something to that effect. I'm paraphrasing.
Oh, yes. We're gonna...
I'd do the same thing if I were Ron Rivera. Cam, take your time.
Yeah.
It's all good. Rest that foot. Is it a foot? It's a foot, right, Cam? Go ahead and rest it. Whatever hurts, just rest it.
Put yourself in Cam's shoes, too. Whenever you're injured, you want the best for the team, but you want them to win. If they were winning with defense right now exclusively or something, you don't want them to be 4-0 necessarily.
Yeah.
Now they're winning with Christian McCaffrey and defense and Jameis Winston just not giving a damn. Let me count the turnovers in my head. I know he fumbled 3 times. I don't know if they were all lost.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
He may have turned the ball over 7 times in that game. He threw 4 interceptions. It's an astoundingly bad performance in London.
Yeah. Rough weekend for the top of the 2015 draft.
It was,
Winston
wasn't it?
1, Mariota 2.
Yeah.
And actually, if you throw in the top of the 2016 draft, Jared Goff wasn't all that tutti-frutti either his last outing.
This is the thing. I think Mariota just hasn't worked out, and it's just not going to happen for him. With Winston, he will continue to tantalize people because when it's good, it's really good.
Yep.
He's a Fitzpatrick with more arm talent. It's strange that those two are on the same team together because there are these two guys that can tantalize you and excite you with good performances, but it's just complete luck of the draw as to whether they're going to turn the ball over 4 times.
You know what he is? He's a much, much sketchier as a player, not as a human being.
Yeah.
Although he's had his issues as a human being too. he's a much sketchier version of Matthew Stafford. Is what Jameis Winston
okay.
is.
Okay, the downside, the bad plays,
like
the risk-taking.
He's like Matthew Stafford on meth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Well, like, just doing, like, crazy stuff. Like, Stafford was careless with the football. Stafford's gotten better over time, but we see there's clearly a ceiling with Matthew Stafford. Big arm,
there's the thing
like Jameis has.
With Winston, I think sometimes you can't miss it. This is where, with quarterbacks, sometimes I worry about scouts getting too like clever for their own good, and where they start interpreting off-field actions as being the same as on-field actions. With quarterbacks, I think there is something to be said for, oh, if you've got a lack of judgment off the field,
for sure,
then you probably have a lack of judgment on the field as well.
Yep.
And that's where with Winston, it's to a T. It's not an intelligence issue. If anything, he like Fitzpatrick is a little too smart for his own good, because he sees things on the field and kind of leaps ahead and makes decisions because he's thinking too far ahead instead of seeing the simple linebacker that's in his way.
Yep.
But judgment. It's judgment that's an issue with Jameis Winston.
All right. Here is LeBron James. His judgment told him to speak again to the media yesterday following up his critically acclaimed performance in front of the media two days ago.
I've never seen a clarifications go south faster than a clarification with LeBron James. Every time he speaks to clarify, it feels like it makes it worse for LeBron James.
Yeah, here are some snippets of LeBron yesterday clarifying his views on, I guess, on China, Daryl Morey, and free speech.
I talked about it yesterday. I tweeted out a couple of responses to people not understanding, you know, my knowledge of where it came from my brain and for me learning from the situation. I'm talking about it now, and I probably won't talk about it again because I'll be cheating my teammates by continuing to harp on something that won't benefit us, you know, trying to win a championship, because that's what we're here for. We're not politicians. I think it's a huge political thing, but we are leaders, and we can step up at times, but there's times where I'm not saying in this particular instance, but, you know, if you don't feel like you should speak upon things, you shouldn't have to. We don't know the landscape of the situation. If a week would have went by and then the tweet would have happened, it's easy to say, but we have no idea. So, you know, it was a challenging trip for all of us that was in China, and if you were not there, then you just can't relate.
I guess not.
Okay. Yeah, and
it had to be a challenging stay in a 5-star hotel on a charter flight.
This is the interesting thing. Well, but they had to stay in the hotel. Because remember, with LeBron, this is the problem where he keeps doing this. He keeps alluding to the fact that China is an authoritarian regime.
Right.
People have very little personal liberty.
They were worried for their own personal safety.
He's blaming Daryl Morey for that. It's so strange. He keeps alluding to how scary it is in China, but that the real issue is the timing of the tweet. And then at the beginning of this, it's so funny because he says, this is why I need to break it down, because sometimes you can't quite put your finger on what about LeBron is saying that's annoying. He just has a very good skill for that. He's very passive aggressive in things. So I'm going to tell you why that was annoying. At the very beginning says, I've had to educate myself about it, so now I'm going to talk about it. At no point in that speech did he actually talk about Hong Kong's issues with mainland China or anything like that. He still, unless I've missed it, he hasn't actually talked about those political issues.
No.
He's only said, I think what he's trying to say is that Morey shouldn't just flippantly be tweeting things out unless he really understands the issue. And that because, and I think what he's trying to say is that Morey doesn't necessarily feel all that strongly about this. So he jeopardized a lot of business relationships and whatnot by tweeting about something that he might not fully understand. Is that what he's trying to say?
Well, the people who are taking up for LeBron are saying that what he meant to say 2 days ago and in his tweets that followed that up was that the timing of Daryl Morey's tweet with NBA players and teams
in China right.
may have jeopardized them, may have put them in some sort of danger.
Which, again, like, if I, again, is alluding to the fact that, wow, China does some pretty messed up things at times. Now, they wouldn't detain LeBron James for something that Daryl Morey has said just because of the PR. I'm not saying they wouldn't want to. They totally would want to.
Right.
But because of the PR fiasco, they probably wouldn't. Now, if you got caught stealing a watch, in a store, like young...
LiAngelo Ball.
Like LiAngelo Ball.
What
or something.
Was he thinking?
Well, it was his, according to him, it was his friends, right? And he
sure.
was just along with it. That's a whole different story. But I'm guessing I would have no reason to believe that that would be the scenario over there. Because I saw somebody bring that up. They detained the Ball family. Well, like, well, they committed a crime. But... what are you going to do?
Right. Not like over here where you just get a citation for it. You go home and play PlayStation.
But yeah, so LeBron again, and this is where the young prince is so far out of reality that he feels like him being inconvenienced while he was in China and having to play in front of a largely quiet crowd while he was playing basketball.
Rough week, Seth.
That's what we need to be concerned about, not the many, many human rights violations that China has definitely done.
My biggest problem with LeBron, especially in that cut we just played, and there was another cut that we saw on TV where he's just meandering, and he meanders, and he gets his crutches to ultimately bring up all the charitable things he does.
Right.
And all the things that he's focused on domestically here. Yeah. And don't get me wrong, LeBron has done some incredible things for hundreds of kids in his hometown of Akron. I don't want to detract from that at all.
No, but he's going to point those out and talk about how those are the things we should be talking about.
We should be talking about those things that are beneficial to LeBron.
In LeBron's world, you're not allowed to point anything out unless you also... You're supposed to go to the doctor and be like, doctor, I was playing basketball this weekend and I hurt my knee. I think I might have torn my ACL. Also, I'd like to talk about the work that LeBron has done with children in Akron.
Right.
Very, very admirable. And really, what we need to know is like, yes, I'd like an MRI, but first, we need to be sure we point that out.
I'll be honest with you. I mean, if LeBron's saying, I'm not going to talk about this anymore, that disappoints me because I'm really enjoying these meandering verbal diarrhea sound bites that we're getting from him.
There's flooding in Houston. LeBron, next press conference. Look, I'd like to bring this up. You know, a lot of times I turn on the TV this morning because we're playing the Rockets tonight and I see these reports of flooding and not once did I see them mention all the charitable work I've done in Akron.
Makes me think about the schools that I've opened up.
I just feel like we should only be talking about things with which we know. So I heard Daryl Morey talking about how the flooding has affected them. Oh, I'm sorry. Is Daryl Morey a meteorologist now all of a sudden?
I don't think he's educated.
Only speak about things that you're educated about with your brain.
Let's do headlines.
Left side. Bregman. Gloves. Throws. And got him, a dig out by Gurriel. And the Astros win game three, a final of 4-1.
Pivotal game three. The Astros win yesterday, an afternoon affair. They get a home run from Jose Altuve in the first, a home run from Josh Reddick in the second. That wound up being enough, but I'm not going to lie. Those two runs that they got in the seventh inning made me breathe a whole lot easier, Seth Payne. I would say the bats are still, I mean, they were, as a team, they were 7 of 34 at the plate. So they're still not exactly tearing the cover off the ball, but enough for Gerrit Cole.
Jerome Solomon yesterday wrote. Now I'm going to try to do math. I'm going to math recall in my head. I don't have it in front of me. I remember the six times the Astros were shut out during the regular season. Over the next four games, so like in any specific incident that they were shut out. Over the next four games, they averaged 22.5 runs.
Okay.
So now they've scored 7 runs in the 2 games since they were shut out.
Yes. So we got an offensive explosion coming here soon.
So they're going to have 15.5 runs over the next 15.5 runs.
That would be something.
Over the next 2 games.
They score 15.5 runs.
On average. Maybe it's only 13.5.
I got you.
Maybe it's 20.5. I don't know. Somewhere around there.
Scoring half a run would be incredible.
I feel like we're on the brink of something. We're on that Reddick home run would start us.
We need Mother Nature to hold off on being a biatch today because I think she is too, but we need the Astros to dig into this Yankee bullpen like a rabid pit bull into a piece of red meat.
Because if there is a rain delay today, Tanaka, he is a coming.
Game four.
On game four. So you got a Tanaka game four instead of a bullpen game four.
And just to clarify one thing on the text page, people are like, well, no, the travel day will get pushed back to Saturday, and that means game 6 and 7 will be Sunday and Monday. Not the case.
Yeah.
That was confirmed for me by someone in the stadium last night who said, no, they will, what would have been the travel day on Friday, they'll play game 5. They'll just play 4 straight days is what they're going to do.
In the air, center field. This should do it. Robles will squeeze it, and there it is! The Washington Nationals are National League champions!
That was last night, game 4, a sweep for the Washington Nationals over the St. Louis Cardinals. And Seth, if you had looked at the National League before the playoffs and sort of stacked ranked the teams in reverse order of the of who you would want the Astros to play in the World Series, I think most people would put the Dodgers at the top of the list of teams you don't want to play because they won 106 games.
Yeah, I'm tired of the Dodgers anyway.
I'm not angry the Dodgers aren't here anymore. This Nationals team, I know they won 93 games this year, so they were 13 games behind the Dodgers, but they started the season 19-31, and if there is a team in baseball right now that has the artillery in the starting rotation to match up to the Astros, it is the Nationals, who not only have three starters in Scherzer, Strasburg, and Corbin that can match up with Verlander, Cole, and Greinke, they have a fourth starter in Anibal Sanchez who had a no-hitter into the seventh or eighth inning in game one of this ALDS. They have a big advantage over the Astros at that number four, which in a 4-out-of-7 series matters.
News alert. Winning a World Series is going to be difficult.
Yeah.
Even though they have
I don't like that.
FanGraphs has the Astros as a 77% chance of winning this current series.
What do they have them to win the World Series right now? We'll look it up during a break.
You just go ahead and do the next headline.
Okay, yeah, let's do the tick-tock, tick-tock, buzz. Next headline. Jalen Ramsey traded to the Los Angeles Rams. The Texans have put together a blueprint for these teams that want to pick up Pro Bowl caliber players who are heading into their second contract. The Texans established that price at 2 first-round picks and a second-round pick for Laremy Tunsil and Kenny Stills. The Rams are trading 2 first-round picks and a 4th-round pick in 2021 to the Jags for Jalen Ramsey. The Jags, who just days ago said, we're not trading Jalen Ramsey, the same way the Dolphins did with Laremy Tunsil. It turns out that everybody's got a price for the million-dollar man, as Ted DiBiase said back in the day. Jalen Ramsey is out of the AFC South. He is a Los Angeles Rams. The Rams also made some other moves in the secondary. They move Marcus Peters out. They trade him for a player and a 5th-round pick to the Ravens. And they put Aqib Talib on injured reserve.
Marcus Peters kind of prelude to all of this. You saw the Marcus Peters move first.
Right.
And you thought, what's going on here?
At first, I'm like, are the Rams tearing it down?
Right, like, I know. Like, are they giving up because they can't figure out their offense right now? Yeah. I know you're 3-3, but they've been getting increasingly, I would almost say, given where they're falling from, humiliating offensive performances. Yeah. The 49ers just put it on them.
They did.
So Marcus Peters is an interesting one. Immediately that trade happened, and I thought, well, the Texans never would have tried to trade for Marcus Peters anyway, because he's a...
attitude.
I saw him at the media day, and the person that was escorting him around, I knew that person, and I could see the concern in that person's eyes trying to shepherd Marcus Peters through the Super Bowl. Like, shepherd through this whole crowd, because you could start to see that crazy look in his eyes, like he was getting a little overwhelmed with everything. And they had to just, they did a really good thing. They could tell, like, this person's worked with NFL players for a long time. Yeah. They could tell that, like, okay, it's time to get Marcus Peters the hell out of here. Because
recognizing it is key.
Be an incident. But you see that look in his eyes, man. Yeah. He's got a crazy look in his eyes, which can be good. He's just got to be tempered.
Well, it's great on Sundays. If he plays for your team, it's awesome. I would imagine if you're shepherding him around Radio Row at the Super Bowl, it's terrifying.
The Astros, at this moment, according to FanGraphs, have a 55.8% chance of winning the World Series.
Wow, so they are greater than a coin flip to win the World Series
And that's brought down because the Yankees still have a 12 or 13% chance of winning the World Series. I would imagine. So right now, the Nationals have a 31% chance. So if the Astros win this series, I'm guessing FanGraphs will have them as a 60 or so percent chance of winning. They'll be favored in this Nationals series.
Boy, I mean, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. If that's the case, that means the Astros will probably be about minus 180, minus 200 to win the World Series.
Yeah.
You got to bet $2 to win a dollar. That makes the Natties a live dog, man. Mm-hmm. If they'd be about a plus 150, plus 160 underdog.
You as an Astros fan could do the emotional hedge of betting on this.
I would never bet against my team, not in the World Series
really?
Either. No, not in the World Series. I wouldn't do it. I promise.
I don't know how you.
I'm not crossing.
I don't
my
know
fingers
how your either. Like hardcore gamblers' brains work. I don't know if there's if you kind of somehow there's lines you won't cross. I guess
deep down there is a sports fan in me that just doesn't like betting against my team.
Are there gamblers? There's definitely gamblers who know that, like, their kid is going through something difficult, so they would definitely gamble against their kid's
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. If you're in trouble, for sure.
Would you actually create strife at home? I'm gonna,
if your kid was a quarterback for a college team?
Listen, honey, we got to get in a loud fight in front of Junior tonight because I don't need him playing well tomorrow.
I want him
thinking about how we might be getting divorced.
Let's leave some business cards for some divorce lawyers on the kitchen table just so he sees them. We don't bring it up. He just sees them there.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.